Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. And we're going to be talking about not just mind power, but body power. Yes, mind, body, and spirit power. That's what we're going to be discussing today, and I'm so delighted that you're able to join me. My guest today is Atherton Drenth. Her book is called Following Body Wisdom. So we're going to find out what her wonderful publication is all about, so you may want to add it to your library, especially if you're interested in energy healing. Atherton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's an honor to join you.
You are a clairvoyant and medical intuitive and a holistic energy therapist. Now,
yes.
You have been doing this for how long?
I've been doing this for 10 years.
What motivated you to explore this? What were the experiences that made you feel like, wow, this is an area I'd really like to explore? I know I have so many listeners that are either involved in it themselves or they would just dearly love to know how to get into it. So I know I'm throwing a whole bunch of questions at you or thoughts, but just go for it.
Okay. Well, it came as a result of my own personal healing journey. I had been intuitive all my life, but I'd also had been very sick for the last 30 years. And I didn't realize that there was anything that I could do with my intuitive abilities until I almost died from my own illness. And I was very fortunate in the fact that I was directed to see a young healer who lived in our community by the name of Larry Steele. And he had me all better in about 3 months. And I was really shocked one day when he said that he could train me to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know, I think you're nuts. And he says, no, he says, you can do this. And when I decided to do the training, that very first class, that very first 5 minutes, I was just, you just know when you finally found where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. So I just decided to go through with the training. I had a corporate job, and, you know, I didn't leave my job right away. I thought, well, I'll just do the training, and I'll see what happens. And I got certified with him, and I started to see clients in the evenings. My daughter would bring a lot of her friends home from school, and one thing led to another. People would start calling, and then I realized that I was in an opportunity to help more people than what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd give it a try for a couple of months and see if it worked, and I had a full-time practice in 3.5 months. So it was it was a pretty amazing journey, and I've never looked back. So
mm-hmm.
in the last 10 years, I've done about 25,000 healing balances. And when I was going through my healing, I was surprised to find out that there was actually a term for what this young man was doing called energy medicine. And
mm-hmm.
I started to do all kinds of research to find out more about it. And I found that there were thousands of books that had been written about energy medicine and how there were different things that you could do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was really writing about what happens when you're going through the healing yourself. What's happening in a healing cycle, how to take care of yourself while you're going through the healing, what to expect. And I was really fortunate in the fact that I had my mother, who understood a lot of this, help me
mm-hmm.
through that. Because when you're going through, when you're working with an energy medicine practitioner, and I'm sure that a lot of your listeners who are energy medicine practitioners will say the same thing, that a lot of people get very frightened by the process. Because they don't understand that there is going to be a reoccurrence of symptoms. It doesn't mean that it was as bad as it was the first time, but there is going to be that reoccurrence of symptoms. And if you can just let yourself ride through that, if you can let yourself cry, if you can let yourself sleep, if you can let yourself feel nauseated without interfering with it, then the body's going to heal that much faster. And that's why I decided that I needed to write this book, so that there could be practical examples out there, so that laymen who were looking for answers could pick this up and say, oh, okay, this is normal, you know?
This is a very good point that you bring up, and I think that so many times in our world today.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Atherton, and I are back with you. I apologize for the drop in the signal that occurred there, but you know how it is with technology. Sometimes those electrical gnomes have a field day every once in a while, so we've just got to keep them tame. Atherton, let's get back to what we were talking about regarding the energy work that you've done, because
yes,
as I was discussing, it is so important. You made such a good point. It's so important to allow the body to get well, and
yes,
that you can have this, I call it like a physical whiplash, where you go through, ta-da, this stuff all over again.
Yes.
And you yourself, what exactly happened to you? Because you said you were sick for 30 years, and then because of meeting this wonderful healer, then you were able to turn things around. I've heard these stories before,
yes,
and what was it that was affecting you physiologically?
Well, for me, it started out with aura migraines, and aura migraines are migraines where you have a lot of visual disturbances,
mm-hmm,
and some people get them very mild, and I was getting the most severe form in the fact that I was losing my eyesight, I would have difficulty hearing, I wouldn't be able to speak, and I'd go completely weak on my right side, so they were like mini strokes, and they would debilitate me anywhere from 3 days to 3 weeks, and the recovery was just getting harder and harder. I was losing a lot of weight. I was starting to have heart palpitations. I was having a lot of digestive system problems. I was losing weight constantly. And when I went to see this young man, I had been fighting with my doctor rather intensely for 5 years to try to get her to do additional tests to find out what the problem was, because I was a medical technologist.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain tests that I kept requesting, and, you know, she wouldn't do panels. She would maybe do one test here, one test there. So we were getting a very, very mixed picture about what was happening to my body. And finally, there was a radiologist here in town who agreed to do a barium X-ray. And he said, you know, something doesn't look right to me, and I want to run the barium test longer than normal. Are you okay with that? And I said, that would be fine. Because he was very puzzled by the fact that I kept passing out in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that discovered a mass in my belly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, Atherton, this isn't cancer, but he said, you do need to have a biopsy. And he actually had to go and speak to my doctor to get her to do it because, you know, she, by this time, she was feeling rather jaded. She felt it was all in my head and I was making it all up. And it was during this time period that I went down to see Larry, and I didn't tell Larry the whole story. Larry doesn't talk a whole lot,
mm-hmm,
and I just told him I had migraines, and he worked on me for just a few minutes, and when he was done, I said, what do you think's wrong with me? And he said, you have celiac disease, and that's a very severe form of gluten or food allergy,
yes,
to wheat and wheat products,
mm-hmm,
and I was kind of floored, because as a medical technologist, I had always been trained that celiac was always diagnosed in the first 4 years of life because the child was a failure to thrive and they had diarrhea. And I didn't have those problems. I had the opposite, and I had these horrible migraines and I had heart palpitations. And yet when I went in for the biopsy 3 days after I saw Larry, the specialist said it was the worst case of celiacs that he had seen in his entire 15 years of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's a miracle you're still alive. He says, I don't know how you made it this far with your digestive system being the state that it was in.
Wow.
And I know that if I hadn't gone to see Larry, that chances are I would have died during the biopsy. Because the specialist did say to me, he said, if I had known that you were this bad, he says, I never would have agreed to do this. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Now, when Larry was working with you,
mm-hmm.
You'd already found out that it was celiac?
No, I hadn't figured out that point.
You had not figured it out at that point. Okay,
no,
so when did you bring Larry into the picture? Were you using Larry along with the traditional Western approach, or did you do it solely with Larry? How did you work with it?
I went to see Larry. It was then medically confirmed what he said, and you,
mm-hmm.
you have to understand he was just doing this by touching me and checking in with my field. I then had to go on the gluten-free diet, and they told me that it would be a minimum of 2 years before I would be well enough to return to work. And I decided that I was just going to work with Larry, and I was going to stop any other form of treatment. And Larry had me back at work in 3 months.
Phenomenal. There are so many different cultures that work with energy healing, and I really think that its use is so good. I can remember years ago reading a story about a shaman in South America who had been very well known for his healing ability, and he would watch the lights in the body. People tried to understand what he was doing. He said, well, when certain lights are out, that's when I know that that's the area that needs to be worked on.
Yes.
Someone else would say they'd see colors. Someone else would talk about different energy frequencies, or they would hear certain sounds. So there are different modalities of expression that people have.
Mm-hmm.
What, when you were developing, when you were going through the training with Larry,
mm-hmm.
what did you notice that came most naturally to you that made you very comfortable in doing this?
The fact that I could touch certain areas of the body and the body would speak to me. I would connect to their physical body, and then I would connect to their energy field, and then I asked the body to show path, and the body would automatically light up in a particular area, and I would go into that light, and then the body would say pain here, and then I would follow the pain story, and then it would go back to what I call a particular seed. There would be a particular event often that happened in childhood that was the triggering event, and there would be a belief system that would be formulated by the child at that point. And we would start, and then we start to work with that belief system, and we start to unravel it like a ball of yarn. And then the body would just start to calm down. It would open up. The energy would start to flow. For me, the energy should flow around the body like water.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not feeling that flow, then I know I've got a log jam that I need to go in and take a look at. And when I go into that block or that log jam, I will often hear these statements. Or I'll see stories. I'll see a movie open up, and I'll say,
mm-hmm.
What happened to you when you were 16 years old? Oh, I can't believe you found that. So it's that kind of experience.
I wanted you to express that because I think it's important when people have an interest in this topic to be able to have an understanding of how a healer works.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a Lebanese woman, we used to call her Mama Nash,
mm-hmm.
and she was Lebanese, little tiny gal, and nondescript person. You would never know that this is what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do absent healings for people. People in Lebanon would send her letters years
yes.
ago, asking her to assist them, and she had her routine where she'd have her time of prayer, or she said she'd send them a handkerchief that she had put energy into and told them to put it over a certain spot on their body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will hear of these stories, and people will say this isn't possible, but I know it is. And I remember my experience with her when she healed me when I was in a hospital and was told I could not leave because I had severe pneumonia.
Right.
And she came in, and I told her what was going on. I said, I want to go home. And she said, well, why don't you? You look fine to me. And I said, no, they tell me I have pneumonia and my lungs are filled.
Yes.
And she said, oh, we'll take care of that. And so she put her hands on me, and it was just a gentle energy flow. Now, I didn't feel sick, but mm-hmm. they had diagnosed the pneumonia, and that's not unusual. You can have yeah. a pneumonia and not even know you've got it. And by golly, I broke into a sweat within an hour after she left. Mm-hmm. It was so intense. And when they came in 4 hours later to check on me, mm-hmm. to do a double check on the level of pneumonia, it was all gone.
Wow.
So I have personally experienced things like this, and I've known people that are so gifted in the healing area. One young man, I'll just say his name is Mike, and he is one of the most phenomenal healers I've ever experienced. And he also had chiropractic background, but he would read the body very much like you are talking about, but he wouldn't tell anybody anything in that sense. But I like what you do, because if you can get to the core mm-hmm. of what is going on, mm-hmm. you can get what you call the seed,
yes.
then you have a chance of making sure that that is not going to come back.
Yes.
So it's yes. getting to the core essence, the core cause
yes.
of why certain physiological patterning will happen. And I think
yes.
that that is very profound. Now, you talk about in your book
mm-hmm.
professional ethics.
Yes.
Now, this is important, because
yes.
energy healing is coming more and more into the forefront in the medical community. I know
yes.
here in the Pacific Northwest, there are a number of people that are highly respected mm-hmm. that are being accepted within professional medical environments. Tell us about the professional ethics that someone should be aware of.
I think that what people need to remember is that they are in charge of their healing, and this means that they are in a position of choice. And if they are going to explore energy medicine and want to work with an energy medicine practitioner, regardless of what they're called, they need to go in prepared to ask them a lot of questions. They need to be prepared to ask about their training. They need to take a look at the environment that the practitioner is operating in. They need to take a look at the demeanor of the practitioner, because you're going to get so many indications of what you're dealing with just by doing those simple things. And if you're not feeling comfortable, if you can't get your questions answered, if the environment is making you nervous and the issues can't be resolved, then you know that your own inner intuition is telling you that this isn't the right fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's the appropriate word, the right fit, because
yes.
it's sometimes there are those persons whose energy, and I'll use this terminology, whose energy's frequencies will not harmonize with yours.
Yes.
And when you have that, you need to make that okay. And that
yes.
person may be fine for somebody else, but may
yes.
not be for you. So
yes.
it's, gee, don't blast them away and say, gee, you're not any good, because
yes.
you do have a level of personal responsibility in your own wellness. And so
right.
that is important to continue
yes.
to look. That's
yes.
a very good point.
Yeah, it's very important. And I say that to people when they come to see me, and I say to them, ask me all the questions you want. I have no problem answering any of your questions. And if you don't feel comfortable, then don't come back. If you want to still work with energy work and you don't feel like I'm a right fit for you, I have lots of amazing colleagues. I'm happy to refer you out. And,
mm-hmm.
and people appreciate that.
Because
I think as healers, we have to be aware of the fact that we're here, we're doing healing work, and we're here to be of service. But it doesn't mean we're the be-all and the end-all. And
that
if I
is
can't
the
help,
truth.
And if I can't help somebody, I know that there's somebody else in the community who can, because everybody has their own vibrant frequency, and you need to get that right fit, because it's only going to enhance your healing, right?
Yes, I agree with you 100%, because if there isn't that harmony, then there's not going to be the exchange. It just isn't. It isn't going to happen very well.
No.
You talk about something that I've always found very interesting, and that is power symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to share your story about how you discovered yours.
Oh, okay.
And what is it?
Okay. I had a dream years ago before I started my healing work. And I, in the dream, I woke up and I felt this large sore on my cheek. And I went into the bathroom and I was looking at this sore, and it was white mother-of-pearl blister on my face. And I opened it, and when I squeezed it, this massive mother-of-pearl scarab came slipping out of my face. and it terrified me. I woke up with a shock, and that dream disturbed me so much that I thought about it every single day, and I talked to everybody about it. I would look at, you know, try to find interpretations for scarabs, and I was getting nowhere. And about a year and a half later, my husband and I went into Toronto one day to take our children to see the Egypt artifacts at the Royal Ontario Museum. And we were just getting ready to leave when we turned a corner and there was a display case. And in this display case was the model of a pyramid with all these little tiny scarabs. And here was this mother-of-pearl scarab with a little sign beside it saying that scarabs were given to initiates to signify the beginning of their mystic journey. And that's when I realized that what my mother had been trying to teach me for years, that was my indication from the universe that I had started the path. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that was my power symbol. And years later, when my husband and I were looking for a place to move my practice because I had gotten too busy to work out of the house anymore, we had found this lovely century-old home. And our offer was accepted, and I was very nervous about buying this place because I wasn't sure if I could carry it or not. And I remember I was walking through the house one day by myself, and I called in the Archangel Michael, and I said, Archangel Michael, if I'm really supposed to own this place, if this is really where I'm supposed to be, then I want something in my hands that proves to me that we're doing the right thing. And he just disappeared, which always drives me crazy when they do that. And I walked into another room, and I heard look in the corner, and I turned, and here was this little tiny jeweled scarab pin lying in the corner of this room. And I know that it hadn't been there the day before because my husband and I had been measuring all of the rooms, and I had literally been crawling around on my hands and knees looking underneath the carpeting, and I know that that pin was put there for me to know that that was an indication. And I have that pin still in my office, and it's a constant reminder that what we were doing was the right thing, moving the practice to the Paradigm Center for Wellness and bringing in other practitioners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's still operating to this day. Now, you say, and this is for those of you listening, that anyone and everyone can be gifted a symbol that will be their confirmation that Spirit is working with you. And if you'd like to find out what your symbol is, when you go to bed at night, ask that you be shown in your dreams what your personal symbol is and that you will remember it when you wake up.
Yeah.
And the next day, allow yourself to be aware of what's presented to you and don't doubt it. You'll find that if you doubt the symbol, that's just your ego mind getting in the way. You'll soon know enough that the symbol is true for you. I think that experiences like that are so reminiscent of what the native cultures often have talked about and what the vision quest was all about.
Yes.
Because there was such a need to be able to find that core center, and animal symbols, whether they are or insect symbols or bird symbols, whatever it might be, could be the Komodo dragon for all I know.
Yeah.
It is what is going to be right for you. And I recall a woman, when she went through a vision quest, she found that the condor was her totem. And she was so shocked because in her mind, always, the condor was just an absolutely hideous bird.
Really?
But when she did some research on the bird, she found that this bird was so unique and was so phenomenal and powerful that she said, oh, my goodness, it gave her a whole different view of herself. So these are things sometimes that are wonderful to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you talk about embedded memories. You brought this up earlier, and you talk about releasing the embedded memories. Let's talk about Judy for a minute.
Okay.
You mentioned her in the book. What did you discover, and how did you release that embedded memory from her?
Well, Judy had a real fear and phobia of leaving her house. And when we followed that fear of leaving the house, we used that as our entry statement. It would go back into a fear of spiders or afraid of talking on the phone too long or lots of funny little fears. And we would just keep working with the body. A fear would come up, and I'd say, okay, just focus in on that fear. and then I would go back to the body and ask body to show path. And then it would start to go back into ages. It would go back into 16, 8, 3, 2. And then I said, and it stopped at age 2, I believe. And I said, what happened at age 2? And she said, oh, my brother was born. And she started to cry. And that's how we knew we had the seed of the problem, was her initial reaction to when her parents brought her baby brother home.
Mm-hmm.
And she suddenly felt that she was disposable. You know, her parents had just gotten a new toaster a few weeks before because the old one didn't work anymore. And she suddenly felt, as a 2-year-old, that because they had brought this other baby home, that she was no longer working for them. So they were going to get rid of her. And she developed these fears. And her fears were always misunderstood. And rather than helping her to figure out that this 2-year-old emotional mind wasn't able to connect the dots, they started to play into the fears. And they would make a joke out of it, which would embed them even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would just get bigger and bigger, and then they would expand to the point where she was afraid to leave her house. Once we knew what the seed was, once we knew what the core was, we were able to go back and start to unravel all of her decisions in the emotional mind back to the age of 2 until she was able to relive that moment of seeing her baby brother for the very first time and going, oh, they just had another baby. Because now the adult mind can help the inner child at age 2 make that emotional connection. And she didn't have that child.
And you bring up something called the brain gym in your book. What is this, and why is it so valuable?
A brain gym is a technique that was developed by two doctors by the last name of Dennison. And I have found that brain gym is one of those energy techniques that really help the brain to reconnect to its neural pathways. And there are practitioners who are very highly trained in brain gym who can help children, especially with learning disabilities, unlock those little embedded memories on why they can't learn something anymore. Often we find that children who are having difficulty with reading or writing or dyslexia will have had something that's happened to them at a very early age. And sometimes it's birth trauma, you know, force of delivery, vacuum delivery. And it's created a block in the neural pathways. And brain gym helps to rewire that so that it doesn't need to affect the learning anymore.
Fascinating.
Yes.
You also cover something in your book about dowsing, and you put the information in with a boxed segment of detail on the art of sending love.
Yes.
Tell us why you recommend the dowsing rods and why.
When I'm working with children, especially, and their parents bring them to see me for the very first time, I show them a picture of what an aura looks like. And they want to know if that really exists. And the easiest way to show them how to do that is with dowsing rods, because dowsing rods have been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I have the child stand at the one end of the room, and then I say to the dowsing rods, show me the edge of their energy field, and the dowsing rods will open up. And then I'll say to the child, I want you to think about something that makes you really, really angry, and let me know when you're ready. And when they do, I walk towards them, and they're really shocked to find that the dowsing rods don't open up until you're almost maybe only an inch away from their face. And then I'll say to the child, you know how sometimes you can feel when mommy and daddy are really, really mad? And they'll go, yes. This is what you're sensing. You are already intuitively sensing that their field is pulling in. And then I say to the parents, who are always usually fairly stunned when they see this, this is why you can really feel when your kids are angry, even when they don't say anything, and why your kids can read you when you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
So then I say to the child, I just want you to stay there, and I want you to stay angry. And then I say to the mother and the father, I just want you to look at your child, and I just want you to think about how much you love them. And then I go back to the other end of the room, and I take my dowsing rods, and I only have to take one half step forward when the field will open up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say to the child, you know, sometimes you have a friend who's really hurt, and you don't know how to help them. All you have to do is think, I love you, and you've already helped them. And I say to the parents, if your child is really upset and you just can't console them, sometimes all you have to do is love them, because it will affect their field.
Well, as you can tell, there's a lot of information in Atherton Drenth's book, Following Body Wisdom, How Energy Medicine Can Help Heal. Now, Atherton, what is your website?
My website for the book is www.followingbodywisdom.com.
Okay.
And then I have a personal website, which is athertondrenth.ca.
Okay, and that is A-T-H-E-R-T-O-N, last name D like Donna, R-E-N like Nellie, T-H, dot C-A.
Yes.
And that is her personal website. If energy healing is something that you have an interest in, if you're wanting to do something for yourself to make your life better, I think this is a fascinating book to read and a lot of good suggestions that you can follow. Atherton, this has been a joy having you as a guest today. Thank you so much for being with me.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, you can check out www.followingbodywisdom.com or athertondrenth.ca. And we'll be taking a break here. We'll be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, it's Donna, and telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I do want to let you know that on this coming Monday, yes, on Labor Day, not only am I going to be doing my show live, but I'm also going to be on the air with a wonderful host. Her name is Janice Wilson, and she is out of Las Vegas. She has a blog, and from 7 to 8 in the evening on Monday, you will be able to listen in to the Janice Wilson show. And all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Janice-Marie-Wilson. And we will be doing the show live in Las Vegas, and it is going to be a dynamic one, and I hope that you will be able to be involved. And they do have a call-in number of 646-652-4558. And then next Friday, a week from today, I will have my show as usual, but I'm also going to be live on air with J.R. Perry, and he does a show called Love Drop Radio. Isn't that a fun name, Love Drop Radio? This is a man who is very committed to empowering people, and we just have a wonderful camaraderie, so I'm going to be on the air with him, and that is KLAV Radio. That is terrestrial radio. You can hear it on the Internet, however. So you can mark it down, KLAV Radio in Las Vegas with J.R. Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. I promised you that I would let you know about the shows that are going to be coming up. So this is all happening next week. I'm going to be busier than a one-armed paper hanger. Ah, yes, and a lot more stuff is going on, too. And for those of you that are going to be listening from Las Vegas, I want you to know that I will be in Las Vegas, and I will be available on Friday and Saturday of next week for private sessions. So if you'd like to set up an appointment with me and you're going to be in the Las Vegas area, all you have to do is call my office, 800-872-8852. Well, I've got some different items that I wanted to share with you today. Sometimes I just get a plethora of information. I wonder how I'm going to fit it all in. One of the items is about what is described today as crime committed towards the elderly. There's another title that it has. It's called The Invisible Crime. And sadly, I have just known so many stories of people that their parents were taken advantage of, or, you know, children that took advantage of the parents, just abuses like you wouldn't believe, not just financially, but even physically. And it's really a sad thing, but the key is to be alert and to be aware. So I wanted to share this information with you about an 86-year-old man. His name was Cliff, and he happened to be shopping, and there was a woman that approached him. Her name was Yana, and she was, my goodness, 30-some-odd years younger than he was. And so she starts bumping into him. He began to see her frequently when he would go out. Well, he was a lonely man. He didn't have a companion, and so he was very flattered by the attention, and they had nice conversations. And by golly, he ended up, because she was giving him a song and dance, she was a con, and he ended up getting an apartment for this lady and ended up paying out $30,000 for a venture she said she was going into. He even signed his car over to her. Well, the big bet that she did is she went to Reno with him and convinced him to marry her. And she was working on literally cleaning this person out financially. Now, that is a pretty harsh thing to consider. But, hey, that's nothing new. Cons have been around forever, male and female. And often the elderly individual will be so embarrassed that they won't say anything. So this woman also, she was caught eventually. But the reason she was caught is that she didn't seem to care when they were walking into a Mercedes-Benz dealership about what kind of car she had. You know, most people, when they go in to buy a car, well, I want this, I want that, I want the other. Well, she wasn't. She was just going after money. And Mercedes, the salesperson at Mercedes-Benz, turned her down, but they were very suspicious. And it was amazing what happened. This one of the victims that she had conned came into the dealership, paid the dealership $75,000, and she drove off with a car without the guy. Mm-hmm. These are stories. This woman was just absolutely unbelievable. Now, according to MetLife Mature Market Institute report, elderly people are losing at least $2.6 billion a year to financial abuse. It is a racket. That's the word that is being used. It's a racket that affects all socioeconomic groups and ethnicities. I mean, nobody is immune to this. There isn't one group that's nicer than the other. And believe me, I've found this to be true. And there was a family of a retired Massachusetts judge that said, our father was duped. He was taken for a ride. And only about 15% of the cases are reported to police. And a lot of these people, honestly, do not realize that they are being financially raped. They don't know this. And some of them have cognitive problems. And the people that are doing this, they're not really being held accountable. And there is a person that made a comment that said, we're decades behind dealing with financial elder abuse compared to domestic violence and sexual assault. Now, here are some suggestions. And I know I have a friend that works at a bank, and she said she's seen cases of elder abuse that just were unbelievable, but their hands were tied unless something was extremely suspicious. And then they have particular organizations they call that can step in and do something. But if you are in business or if you are aware of elderly people that could possibly be duped, this is what you can do. And especially if you're in business. If someone elderly is brought into a store or a business by someone who is substantially younger than they are and insists on completing their transaction action really, really fast, it's like, oh, no, you can't ask these questions. We just got to get this done and get out. The person accompanying the elder claims to have recently obtained power of attorney or guardianship over the elder. They become a joint account holder or had to have recently married the person. And I think all of us have heard about something like this. Then an older person seems disengaged when the transaction, doesn't follow what's going on, or acts scared or nervous. So you really have to be alert. And a transaction is inconsistent with the older person's spending patterns or does not seem to be in the elder's best interest. So if you believe that something is going on, and you can always play the game to a degree, you need to call 911 if you think someone is definitely being exploited, and contact Adult Protective Services, APS, because they offer services and take action to protect elders from abuse and exploitation. And what you can do to find out this information, wherever you may be in the country, is go to Adult Protective Services, put in the name of your county, and then the proper office will pop up for you. Sadly, this is very much increasing. And as we have an older population, I mean, there are a lot of good people out there that are very protective and would never dream of abusing someone. But there is that group that has no respect for anything, anybody, but themselves. They're only self-serving, and they will lie, cheat, steal, whatever they can do to get whatever it is that they want. So when someone is elderly, if they have cognitive problems or whatever, keep an eye out for them and just be aware that there is a way to help them. But many times they're just so embarrassed they won't say a word. So if you have someone in your family that perhaps is vulnerable like that, be alert, be aware. Don't be pushy, but be aware and let them know that they are loved and cared for, and if they need you, they can call you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a minute. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay. Oh, by the way, I need to let you know who's coming on next week. Now, we are going to be talking with Jerry Bradley. This is a guy who's traveled all over the country and has picked up stories from different people. It's sort of like going down nostalgia lane in a way. But Jerry has actually talked to these people, and he recorded the stories and finally put them in a book he called The Chit Chat Cafe. It's sort of like sitting in a coffee shop. If ever you've done any traveling around the country, you'll stop in one of these little coffee shops. It's in a small town, and it's the type of place that everybody goes to. There's one community we went to, I remember a place called Pickles. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Boy, could that gal cook. Woo! She was wonderful. Anyway, it's that kind of thing we're going to be talking about on Monday, Labor Day. Tuesday, we're going to be playing The Best of Donna. We're going to be playing the show I did with Pamela Wibble, and this was on medical care. If you missed it, it was a very good show, and I think you'll enjoy it. But I am going to be en route to Las Vegas, so I've got appearances there, and I wanted to let you know about that. And then on the 8th, we're going to be talking with Bruce Tolner. Now, Bruce is quite a guy. His book called The Child Game Plan is one of the finest publications I've ever seen about teaching children certain values. Now, Bruce is a wonderful coach, and this is a man that's been involved with kids for a good portion of his life, and he really, really feels like we can do so much as adults to work with kids and interact with them. So we're going to be discussing that next Wednesday, and then Sally Helgeson is going to be on the air with me on Thursday, Female Vision. This is one of the most powerful books I've read regarding women in the workplace and how you as a woman can really empower yourself and not feel like you're going to go backwards. It's amazing with all of the education we have available today how many women feel disempowered. And I want you to understand that that doesn't have to stay that way. And then Robert Bavall, we are going to be calling him in Spain. That's right. We're going to be talking about a subject that almost everybody's fascinated with, and that's Egypt, the Egypt Code. This is a man who has done archaeological work, and his story is fascinating. So I think we've got a dynamic week coming up, and I invite you and your friends to join me. Okay, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Physically, now we were talking earlier about being well, reading the body. There's an old adage, use it or lose it. Now that can be applied to so many different things in life. But exercise is one of those components that you must remember is necessary. I see a Japanese lady, she walks religiously 5 miles a day, and she's trim, she's slim. She said, I went through all kinds of health problems, and the doctor said I was going to have this done and this medication and that medication, and she said, this isn't going to work for me. I don't do medicine very well. So she started doing some reading and decided she was going to take up her own program. And she looked into nutrition, and she started, my goodness, it must have been about 5 or 6 years ago. She said where she had high blood pressure, it's gone. Where she had digestive problems, it's gone. She's out there walking every day, but she does pay attention to how she eats, but making sure that she stays active. Well, you need to remember that the body likes staying flexible, and exercise is very important. And they have found out now in research that arteries will stiffen due to aging, plus you usually add extra pounds. Why? Because we're not as active as we were when we were younger. But without exercising, then the blood pressure goes up. You could end up having problems with the arteries and strokes. And they say, you know what? If you want to see if you've got healthy arteries, there's a very simple exercise that you can do. And while they say we can do it with high-tech equipment and labs, it could cost you a fortune. All you need to do to find out if your arteries are as supple as they should be or are more like an old dried-up bicycle tire, all you have to do is sit on the floor. And they did this in research with 526 men and women. Those people that were the most flexible on a sit and reach their toes. Sit down, legs stretched out in front of you, reach for your toes. Those that were the most flexible had the most supple arteries. They were able to determine this by a pulse wave pressure test. Now, why is this the case? Your arterial walls are made up of smooth muscle cells and connective tissues, just like the muscles in your hip and your back. And whenever that stiffens up, it has an effect on the body's suppleness. And they find that activities that keep the big muscles pliant, such as stretching, may actually soothe nerve activity that also affects artery flexibility. An adult who started a program of regular stretching significantly increased the flexibility of the walls of their carotid artery, the vessel that supplies the brain with blood. So if you sit down, put those legs out in front of you, and you stretch, and you can't reach your toes, that's something you need to be alert to. Check your blood pressure, and just know you can do a lot of good for the body if you just do some simple stretching exercises. Do that walk. It'll work out wonderfully for you. This Japanese lady, her body likes it so much that she says she doesn't get sick. And I see her out there walking day in and day out. If you have a pet, take your pet for a walk. It's good information, and it's something, it's a good way to check about yourself. Now, if you got a belly, you may say, well, I've got such a big belly, I can't reach my toes. Well, that's okay. Just keep trying, because that means that you are not doing for yourself what you need to do. And hey, I want you around. So take care of yourself. This is research that has been done, and it really does work. Now, I've got something for you. Would you like to find missing money? Mm-hmm. Guess what? There's all kinds of money floating around out there that maybe some of you could discover. You may even be entitled to some property that some Uncle Harry left you maybe 25 years ago that you didn't know about. Now, the National Association of State Treasurers has a website called missingmoney.com. It has records from 35 states, and you can try searching all the states in which you or any relative has ever lived, and there's no time limit for collecting those assets if something was left to you. And, you know, sometimes that happens, and they've got a lot of money that's just sitting around that they don't know where to send it. And if you want to search for matured savings bonds dating from 1974 for missed payments from U.S. Treasury securities, what you can do is go to treasurydirect.gov/INDV/INDV.htm. That's what you'd have to put in, and click search for your securities in Treasury Hunt. Now, if you've got older bonds or some that are still drawing interest, you can go to treasurydirect.gov, click on the Forms tab, then download a 1048 used for lost, stolen, or destroyed savings bonds. Amazing. I've got all this stuff in there. And if you think you've lost a 401k plan, well, you can start at unclaimedretirementbenefits.com, where plan sponsors, administrators, and custodians will register missing participants who have unclaimed retirement funds. Now, if that doesn't work, and maybe you can't find out anything about your previous company, well, what you need to do is to see the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corps booklet, Finding a Lost Pension. And if a plan was abandoned, you need to go to the Department of Labor's database at askbsa.dol.gov/abandoned plan search. Abandoned plan search, and you will be able to get it. Someone have a life insurance policy? You need to know if someone got one. You can go to the American Council of Life Insurers website at acli.com and click on Missing Policy Tips under Tools. And if you're waiting for your refund from last year, you can go to irs.gov and click the button that says, "Where's my refund?" And they'll tell you. And if you eventually do find funds that definitely are yours, there's a fiduciary that holds them. They'll tell you what you need to do to claim them. Of course, you need to prove who you are. And if the property belonged to a deceased relative or friend, you'll also have to prove that you're the executor of the estate or the rightful heir. Well, this is Donna Sebo. It's been delightful to be with you. Have an absolutely awesome holiday weekend. And we'll be back here on Monday, live and sassy, right here on VBSRadio.com. Remember, always. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a journey to be lived and enjoyed. Smile, and the world will smile with you. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.